What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the B-side of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand.
It's a dual A-side. Remember those, like...
No, I don't. Who did a dual A-side?
They used to do dual A-sides where, like, the singles would be so big that you don't want to call it a B-side.
Nah, who did that?
I will have to go look it up. But anyway, I don't want people to think that this is like, you know, okay, we're not putting effort into it. Like, this is a B-grade Clock Radio Speakers. Nah. But anyway, I interrupted your whole flow.
Nah, you're fine, because in most cases, the B-side was better than the A-side, keep it real.
Maybe. But anyway, welcome to Clock Radio Speakers, everybody. Follow Armand on Instagram, especially. follow him on Twitter, at Armand Wake Up. Follow me on Twitter, @_beats, S not a Z. This is the second episode for this week. The first episode we did, we talked a little bit of new music. Talked about Drake's video, talked about these Timberlake leaks, and we talked Grammys. So please go check that out, clockradiospeakers.com. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
Yep.
We are here to finish off our incredibly detailed, about to be seriously detailed, recap of DJ Premier's career, the DJ Premier retrospective. This is part two. Please go check out part one on clockradiospeakers.com.
Yep.
So did you get any feedback from last time?
No, I didn't. Did you?
Yeah. People thought that we were just... people thought we really skipped over the early Gangstar stuff. Maybe not that first album, but like albums 2 and 3.
We didn't get into Gangstar until like the third album.
But I think part of that is I think we're just younger.
Yeah.
You know, so... You know, yeah, Hard to Earn. You know, that's 94, so, you know, you can get in that a little bit more, but like... Look, Daily Operation has some joints, but I don't know, man. 92, that's a little before my time. But that was some of it. You know, people thought I was crazy for not liking Dwyck, D-W-Y-C-K. you already got people saying that you're crazy for your teaser comment about Nas's like, which we're definitely going to talk about this episode.
I'm so ready to quote unquote defend myself on that. So yeah, I'm ready.
But you know, we acknowledged this as we went through the episode last time. We forgot J. Rue's Sunrises in the East, and we forgot the Group Home Living Proof album.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start there.
Okay, let's start there.
All right, so...
I'm eating corn pops, by the way, so that may be the chunks that you hear. I'm skinny, so anytime that I eat, you should be happy.
Oh, man. So J. Rue's Sunrises in the East.
Yep.
So we talked about Wrath of the Math.
Yeah, we did.
That title.
Wrath of the Math. hold on. Let's just go back and let's just again, go over some physical stamina, scientific madness... I mean, come on.
You're playing yourself, which is dope.
Yeah, that's a straight 90s word, yo.
There's some real, like some of these titles on Sunrises in the East.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
The first try.
I mean, hey, look, he spelled it wrong.
And it's the, yeah.
Not the, it's just the letter D. Oh, mind blown gif.
So, we can... The Original is actually probably one of my favorite tracks off this album.
Record is stupid.
That piano. Woo!
Record is stupid. To me, this is one of the... Where does this fit? This was 94, so 94. This is around the time of Hard to Earn. So we acknowledge that this is where Primo hits one of his first strides.
Yeah, you could say that. You know, like I said, so D Original, I love that beat.
Yeah.
You got Brooklyn Took It, which is, I thought that was actually kind of original. Like, that beat is different for Primo. Because Primo sort of gets locked into this, like, you know, typical, especially later on, even though I love those beats, like, yeah. He gets locked into that Primo feel, you know? Yeah. So I appreciate that Brooklyn Took It was different, at least.
Yep.
Speaking of stuff that's just so 1994, House. The title, the fact that it's a skit.
That's super 90s.
Super 90s.
Super
90s. Your man Afu Ra.
Yeah, man.
Mental stamina.
Yeah, man. Oh, this is a struggle verse from Alpharetta.
Yeah, he's on some MC Science Project and DJ Labcoat like feel right now. Like,
super, super. Are we gonna talk about that album? Did you listen to that album? The Primo joints that he did on God, what was the name of that album?
Oh yeah, I got Alpharetta notes.
Cool. That's what is that?
Hold on.
Body to Life Force. That's 2000. That was my sophomore and junior. No, that was the beginning of my junior year.
Yeah, he, you know, Defeat, Mic Stand, Equality. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. I got notes on all those, man.
Ooh.
All right.
It's my time, B.
Mental Stamina. The beat's nice on it. J-Ru's flow is actually pretty serious on Mental Stamina.
Yeah.
But yeah, Afura. Mm.
Not yet.
Not yet. The chicks, we'll call it the bees.
This is a classic record, though.
I actually never heard this record before. So, when I see the title, and then I'm familiar, I guess I'd heard probably like 2/3 to 3/4 of this. This is one of those records I hadn't heard off this. I wasn't expecting that jazzy, like 92 Primo beat to kick in.
Yeah.
It's a little old school for me.
I feel that.
To hear that, like, for the first time in 2013, you know.
I feel that.
Can't Stop the Prophet, of course. That's famous.
Classic.
That video is funny. Yeah. Some of his lines, man. It's classic, but it's so 94. Like, you know, I use my super science.
Is there...
Oh, goodness. Love it.
Bill Nye appearance in that?
Was there another
science show on TV besides Bill Nye? Wasn't there another one in the early 90s?
Oh, man. It was all about Bill Nye. I mean, I'm sure there was something.
What is he doing now? I want to get him on Kairos. Let me get him on the
Bill Nye, Birdman, What was that? Who'd you say? I said Bill Nye, Birdman, and,
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. That'd be a great interlude.
And I want T.I.
You could get those people to explain Kairos.
Oh, that'd be amazing. If I could just get... when I write a biography, they're good. Oh, what was the name of it? I got the guy, and he had like the spiky hair, like really tall, almost like Kid from Kid and Play. And he did a science show. I don't remember the name of that show. If you listen to the show, please. Please. I think it used to come on NBC after... you know, the morning shows like CITY, You Can See Why, City Guys, and what was the one show with Reggie Theus?
Reggie
Basketball.
Theus.
He's the basketball coach.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Oh, I've thought about Reggie Theus in forever. Oh, man.
Man, All-Star Weekend is this weekend, man.
Why, it is.
Why is the... okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say, we're going to get back to Primo. Why has the NBA been scheduling All-Star Weekend the same weekend as Valentine's Day for the last however many years?
Because it always comes after the Grammys.
They can't do it next... why don't they do it next week? Do it the third week of February.
I like how you're mad because... but Valentine's Day is Thursday.
Who's going to celebrate it on Thursday?
Then Friday.
Nah, dude. Nah, people are going to celebrate it on...
Saturday? They might say,
you might do something on Thursday, but you're going to do something...
Friday.
Most people are going to do something here Friday, even maybe Saturday. Because maybe they might be tired on Friday. Long week.
I mean, you can record. You can DVR the slam dunk contest.
Big.
Just turn off Twitter.
Nah.
You know what they need? They need an app that like can talk to your DVR and replay Twitter while you're replaying the DVR. Yo, don't laugh. That would actually make me be able to DVR sports events.
That would be horrible. Talk about that horrible 5 overtime game that was on this weekend.
All right, back to Primo. Can't Stop the Prophet, obviously classic. Another Perverted Monks in the House interlude. Why you need two interludes on a 13-track album?
Come on, man.
I will say, you know, Young Doc would have been all over the "Ain't the Happy Beat" back in '94. Young Doc would have appreciated the string, you know, that the kind of dramatic, you know.
Yo, Young Doc is hilarious.
would have been a great producer name. Let's see, my Mind Spray with that classic Nautilus sample is dope.
Yep.
Come Clean, obviously. I don't even have to.
Come on.
Yeah. Everybody used to make such a big deal over those water drops.
Yeah. I mean, because you didn't like that before.
Yeah, I will say that's the only hard part about, you know, going back. Because obviously, like, especially once we get past the Sunrise and East and a couple of tracks of this group home, everything else, like, I was obviously really familiar with for this week's episode. But, like, last week's episode, I was hearing some of that stuff for the first time. So hearing some of that stuff, like, you lose the context, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that you wouldn't think that Come Clean is dope now if you heard it for the first time, but, like, it just misses that sort of, like, wow. Right?
Absolutely.
We got two more. What? So Jungle Music is cool. Static is interesting. I think it's an interesting idea to put Static in the beat as a part of, like, how you're chopping the sample.
Yeah.
Not as, like, a, oh, there's accidentally Static in it, but purposely. But, you know, the song is all right. But this record has a rep. You know, people will tell you it's sort of like the lost classic album from 94. Like, people talk about Illmatic, people talk about Biggie, but nobody really talks about J.Ru, Sunrises in the East.
Nope.
Do you think it's in that class?
No, I think Wrath of the Math, or I think, yeah, I think Wrath of the Math is better than Sunrises in the East.
That wasn't a popular opinion at the time, though. Like, people, when Wrath of the Math came out, people were on some, you know, they were like, eh, you know, it's good, but it's not as good.
Nope. It's a better album.
I agree.
Better album.
I agree. But again, like, the original, man, I need to find that piano.
Why you haven't found it already?
Well, you know. You really want me to find more stuff?
Yes, actually.
I'm done.
So anything I do from this point is going to be for my personal enjoyment. I can say whatever I want to say. Right. I don't have to write with the intent of capturing the theme of Kairos. I can write about water buffaloes if I want to.
Alright, you getting on your Lupe Fiasco right now. Relax, man. Yeah.
Water buffaloes and water, like buffalo angels or something.
Buffalo angels. With some hand wrapping?
Come on, man. Chill out.
So we also didn't... The other sort of like mid-90s album that Primo mostly produced that's held up as a classic is this Group Home album.
Yeah, Living Proof.
Do you want to go track by track? I can run through the tracks real quick. You know, Inner City Life is cool.
That was cool. I like the that's Nautilus too, right?
Is it?
Yeah, because those are the same drums Mary J. Blige uses for Sincerity. Actually, those drums are used a few times.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll say. Like, going back and, you know, especially as I've gotten more and more into breakbeats as I get older, you know, some of these, like, 93, 94, 95 Primo beats, a lot of chopped breaks.
Yeah.
Living Proof is probably... Is Living Proof the most well-known Group Home song?
Yes, it is.
No,
I'd say Superstar is more known than Living Proof.
Is it?
Even though Living Proof was the first single, I believe...
I think
Superstar,
yeah,
was a bigger record. And then Suspended in Time was the third single.
Suspended in Time. Yeah. I really like the beat on Living Proof. It's obviously kind of wasted on Group Home. That's obvious. That's the story, right, of this whole album. People will tell you know, all these Primo beats were wasted. I don't think the Primo beats are that incredible on this album.
I think they're dope.
I think they're dope, but they're not... You know,
but you almost have to take into account that you started with late Primo and you worked your way backwards.
I guess I really started with, I don't know, because you know,
hear this album when it first came out?
I remember like Living Proof from Rap City and stuff like that, like the singles I remember. Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
So we got, oh, Your Man Guru and Big Shug on Serious Rap-ish.
Oh, this album. No, that song is terrible.
You know who produced it?
Who did that beat?
Guru.
Was Jazzmatazz out by then? Was the first Jazzmatazz?
Definitely. 94? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that at all. Suspended the Time is cool.
I like it.
I like Sacrifice a lot.
Sacrifice is stupid.
The first Up Against the Wall is cool. It sort of foreshadows the future Primo sound a little bit. Yep. It's not like all the way there. Your man, Mr. I like to play samples over and over again on the MPC. Jazzo produced Forgive My Sins.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. But the beat works, though.
That's hilarious.
The beat works.
That is hilarious.
These lyrics, though, very simple. Really, really simple.
Shit.
Oh, man. Baby Pa.
That's a nice.
That's super 90s. I kind of like this beat. It's kind of innovative for 95.
Which one?
Baby Pa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like 2000.
See, here you go. You were saying very
I
nice
like
things
it. I don't love it. I like it. I'm sorry. I like these beats. I shouldn't say. I mean, like the lyrics. You know. Superstar. You know, that's dope.
Superstar is classic.
I like the sample on the intro better than the actual beat. I think.
Oh but. Yeah. Yeah.
I love the 95 Doc would have been a serious stand for the pianos on Up Against the Wall, the Getaway Car mix. I had a thing for pianos.
You have a thing for pianos.
It used to be worse. And the realness is cool. It's cool. So like overall, you know, this album is there's some dope beats, yeah, but it's not like 13 uninterrupted tracks of, you know, incredible primo production.
But, you know, people call it a classic for the production, though.
For 95? No. I mean, no. Like, nah. No. Think of some of those albums from 95. No. Not happening. Not happening. You're just going to keep saying that.
It doesn't have to compare to other albums to be considered a classic, Doc. And of course, 95, you're biased to 95 because that's when your favorite album ever came out.
And then one of my other five favorite albums ever came out.
Really? I don't know your I don't know all of your favorite albums.
I'm pretty sure Liquid Swords has to be in that conversation.
Okay. Liquid Swords is 95.
Definitely.
That's one of your favorite albums? Okay.
It's got to be.
Makes sense. Knowing you like I know you
makes sense. Anyway, so that's Group Home, so that catching us up a little bit. So where we left off last episode, we left off with Nas, I Gave You Power, and Jay's was it Friend or Foe Part One and Bring It On
Part One. Yeah
So huh. We got some MOP records to talk about.
Oh,
Firing Squad.
Oh,
it's cool. Right there, man. No. I just need to pause this entire podcast. I don't know what just happened there.
quiet you.
Firing Squad.
It's my God.
New Jack City.
New Jack City.
Dope.
Firing Squad. New Jack. Stick to your guns.
Yo, Cool G just comes in and destroys. Stick to your guns.
World famous salute, Downtown Swingin' 96. I mean,
so so Primo did Brownsville and Downtown Swingin' 96 as well off this. I like Downtown Swingin' 96, but we could talk about 98 later because that's when I'm gonna nerd out. Downtown Swingin' 98 is incredible, but no, like just New Jack City and Stick to Your Guns. I forgot all about Stick to Your Guns, man.
Man. Now people beat Bam. You know how many people I beat up to MOP records? A lot. That's what I was back in my fake tough guy phase. That's what I would listen to before I got in the fights. Stick to your guns. I've stumped many a person's out to that record. So that's crazy.
Classic. So that takes us through 96.
Really?
Yeah.
It's all he did in 96?
Well, he also did... the J. Rue Wrath of the Math from like he did stuff last episode.
My bad.
We sort of cut off in the 96.
Yep.
So 97. Let's talk OC.
Oh, Snappery.
My World.
Classic.
Classic. Not like an incredible showy beat, but it's dope.
Classic.
War Games.
War Games.
I like War Games. Simple, but it works. Win the G. Yo, I love that song back in the day.
These names for these song titles, yo, are retarded.
For some reason, Freddie Fox appears as both Bumpy Knuckles and Freddie Fox on the same album. So he's on Win the G. I love this song back in the day. And here's the thing, like, it's a good song, don't get me wrong, but like I don't know why I love this song so much back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of us, man. Listening to all these Primo beats definitely took me back to my middle and high school years.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. Definitely my affinity for a lot of these beats as I've gotten older is like, yeah, it's more so like, man, I remember how much I used to love this record. You know, not as much, man, this record is still amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but like the last record that he does off the SoC album, Money Underground with Freddie. Woo! That beat? Oh, man.
Man, where is OC?
Yeah, where is OC? Where is Digging in the Crates?
They were supposed to be doing some sort of reunion thing. They got Fat Joe down and everything.
I was going to say, I think you could pull Fat Joe together. You could take care of that.
He's not doing anything. He's not doing anything. He's Instagramming whores, allegedly. And Instagramming their mothers.
Oh. That. I can't even talk about that. I just can't even talk about that. But I love Money Underground, Freddie.
The whole audience is going to be mad at me for referencing Instagram that hoe on the DJ Premier discography.
I don't even know what's wrong with you, man. We're going to have, you know what the funny part is? We're probably going to have people listen to this episode who they tune in for the discographies, really. A whole different audience who hasn't even heard the Fat Joe slander about that.
Yeah. And they're going to go back and they're going to try and listen to it. They're going to SoundCloud it. They're going to YouTube it. And they're going to throw out Don Cartagena and represent and Jealous One's Envy. Like, they're going to be like, I'm done. With Joe the Fat Gangster.
So if we're talking 97 Primo, we kind of got to talk about Biggie.
Right? Of course.
We got to talk about Kicking the Door.
Of course.
And we got to talk about 10 Crack Commandments. So let's start with Kicking the Door.
Okay.
One of the greatest interludes ever.
With the Mad Rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. This is the first introduction.
The very first Mad Rapper. There haven't been many shows where we haven't quoted that interlude.
Yeah. That's one in the same.
The only thing that irritated me growing up, and I, you know, actually, why haven't I fixed this on my copy now? I realized I'm an idiot. The volume is way too low in the interlude. So you'd like crank up the interlude when you're listening to it. And then, you know, by the time that, it's a good thing the beat sort of like, you know, has a couple, you know, little Primo doing his thing at the beginning before the actual beat drops, so you can turn it back down again. but man, Kicking the Door. You know, at the time, I was just blown away by it. It beat-wise, looking back, I now know the sample, so like I'm not as blown away by the sample because I'm familiar with the Screaming Jay Hawkins sample now. But the beat is still incredible, and you know, we talked on last episode, we talked about J. Rue throwing shots. You know, we really talk about this, but you know, Nas was throwing little jabs here and there. You know, the interludes on Cuban Links throwing little, you know, shots everywhere. So, you know.
You heard the story about him recording this record, right?
Nah.
He recorded this in D&D and Primo engineered the session.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think I have heard this.
Yeah. And Primo was like, you know, and Big was like, yo, I got it, your man on the record. And Big had like all his goons with him. So Primo was like low key. Like he said he was kind of low key nervous because he, you know.
Yeah.
He want to pop off. I mean, even if he would stuck up, he was like, you know, J. Rue was my man. But he was like, what could I do? You know, surrounded by a bunch of dudes from Brooklyn.
That's funny. And then you get. And you got 10 Crack Commandments. Mm. Who doesn't love 10 Crack Commandments? My girl loves Ten Crack Commandments.
Really?
Yeah. That's a great song.
It is a great song.
I was going to say, I heard a little pause from you, so I was like,
No. No Ten Crack Commandments slander for me, homie. All right. Nope.
Which one you like better?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Kicking the Door is the better beat. Ten Crack Commandments is the better song.
I don't know if I... That's tough.
That's super tough.
It's real tough. I would say...
Spitting on Kicking the Door.
He is. I would say... Ten Crack Commandments... The structure of it is unique. And I think it has probably more memorable lines, which is amazing considering how many memorable lines Kicking the Door has.
Yeah. I think the whole Ten Crack Commandments is memorable.
I think that's what I'm saying. That's one whole quotable.
Yeah.
But now, see, as soon as I say that, I got lines from Kicking the Door popping in my head.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's going at everybody on their record, man.
Yeah, why try throw bleach in your eye? Yeah.
That was going at... That was Ghost, I think.
I think so.
No, that was Ray, because Ray said something about bleach or something like that on...
Yeah. But either way, like, two incredible Primo records.
Yep.
We got off the Stolen the Whole soundtrack. Ooh, Sauce Money Against the Grain.
Hold on. Greatest soundtrack of all time. Soul in the Hall.
I don't know if I agree with you.
That soundtrack is incredible.
It is.
Incredible. It's got Wu-Tang Diesel on there. It's got Commons on. I mean, the entire 96, 97 Loud roster is on that record. That soundtrack is incredible.
It is.
And Against the Grain...
Yeah, that's a... Man. That is a great Primo beat. Sauce kills this.
And 90s money?
What happened to him?
He got that puff check and he was... I heard he didn't write that. I heard he really didn't write Missing You, or he didn't write as much as people think he did.
You remember when he did Do You See with Puff on the album?
On No Way Out?
Yeah. No. Off of Sauce's album.
I kind of remember Puff being on the album, but I don't remember the song. I don't remember anything from Sauce Money's album except the one with the Frank Stallone sample. I remember Face Off, and he had another single. I think Primo did that. Was it Intruder Alert?
He did Intruder. We'll talk about that when we get to...
But there was another song on that album that was stupid.
It was Middle Finger You, right? So
Middle Finger You, yes.
That was the name of the album.
It was the name of the album. Now I've got like super bootleg too, but you know, us 56.
Wow, 30. That was 2000. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, you know what? For My Hustlers.
Yeah, For My Hustlers is the one with the Frank Stallone sample.
Okay.
Da, da, da,
yeah.
Da. Yeah. That's hilarious. Frank Stallone.
Frank Stallone.
I wish I was around in the 80s when all those like actors were making. Didn't like Bruce Willis make an album or something like that?
Yeah, he made a record. Your man, Eddie Murphy, right? He was
Of course, yeah. Eddie Murphy. Didn't John Travolta make an album? Mad people was making albums. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but then in the late 90s, you know, you had a bunch of people trying to be rappers.
Like who?
Shaq.
Hey, no Shaq slander. None.
You can't stop the rain, man.
Classic. Until DJ K Slay stole and let Pat Ruth rap.
Yo, I didn't think we were going to talk about Papoose today. All right, we still got a bunch of tracks. We got to get this back on track. Okay. That's cool. So Against the Grain, classic. We could talk about Rakim had a little comeback.
He did. He dropped the same day as Volume 1, Jay's Volume 1.
Which we're going to talk about after this. So you had It's Been a Long Time.
Classic.
That's all right.
One of my favorite Primo beats.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Now, New York, you're out there. Now that...
I'm not.
That is a classic. That's one of my most underrated Primo beats ever. I love that beat.
Okay.
That whole intro, that beat is way better than It's Been a Long Time. Okay. I just lost our mind there.
No, I just, you know.
But let's talk about these primo tracks off Volume 1.
Okay.
So you get the A Million and One Rhyme No More intro.
Classic. Classic.
I think this is one of Jay's most underrated collabs with Primo.
I agree with that. I think that one of the records we're going to talk about later is his most overrated.
Oh, I think I know which one that is.
Okay.
You know,
that's a classic. Which one do you like better, Million and One or Rhyme No More?
Million and One.
Okay.
And I love the extended remix.
I was just about to reference that.
The extended remix is, you know, when the beat sort of switches and they go, you know, will they call me Jehovah because the flow is religious? I'm done.
Man, listen.
I'm done. Love that. And then Friend or Foe 98.
Yep.
So new Primo is here right now with Friend or Foe 98.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite records ever.
Friend or Foe 98?
That's right. Not really? J Records, not Primo. This is one of my favorite records ever.
Wow.
This beat is otherworldly. And Jay destroys this beat.
Jay does destroy it. Wow.
I've been obsessed with this record for 15 years.
Wow.
Friend of Phone 98 is incredible. I think Jay's, some of Jay's work off Volume 1, and I think we talked about this on the retro way, way back. I think it gets a lot of flack, rightly so, for some of the missteps, but the great stuff on there has really been forgotten.
Absolutely, it has. I agree with that.
All right.
I agree with that.
And then I think, I'm trying to think, what else came at the end of... So this is, we're sort of fate going through 97 now.
Yeah, I'm looking at discography.
Oh, you know what? You know what we got to talk about?
What's that?
It's, I guess it's technically 98, but it's off of a record that happened in 97. It's a remix. It's one of my favorite R&B remixes ever.
The Together Again remix?
Man, listen. I was obsessed with this in college. I can't even explain to you. Love that remix.
Really?
That remix is incredible, man.
I'm not a big fan of Primo's R&B remixes.
The Lady remix is dope.
Yeah.
And this is... done.
I like the original version, where she's dancing in the in the desert.
Anyway.
Different races, because she's promoting equality.
Anyway. So now we're getting into 98. AK going to full stand mode. Just crack my knuckle. You know, I'm easing into my chair. It's I'd like to apologize in advance. I'm about to lose all objectivity. You want to start with the Moment of Truth album?
Yeah, we can do Moment of Truth. And get that out the way.
Get that out of the way.
I mean, that's no disrespect to Moment of Truth. I'm just saying, like, let's talk.
Okay, let's talk. You know my steez, the lead single.
Come on, man. Come on.
Classic.
I love the remix.
The remix. Oh, I forgot about the remix.
Corrupt and Raid. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I think Method Man was on it, too, right?
Oh, see, now you got me looking. You know my steez remix?
Yeah, you remember that?
The Three Men and a Lady remix. What was that on? Oh, wait. Was that on...
That was on a soundtrack.
It was. I want to say it was on... It wasn't on Belly, was it?
Nah, it wasn't on Belly.
The Militia remix was on Belly.
Yeah. It was on a weird soundtrack. It was on, like, The Sixth Man with, like, Marlon Wayans.
I think I own this soundtrack. Because I definitely had this record. Where was this record at? Oh, hold on. You know what? It was on Full Clip.
It was on Full Clip. It was.
All right.
But I know it was somewhere else.
It might have been. All right. Anyway, that's how I had it from Full Clip. All right. I was like, did I buy some terrible...
Wait, hold on. Was it on the Oz? No, it wasn't on the Oz soundtrack.
I forgot that show had a soundtrack.
Yeah, it did. You had a corrupt Nate Dogg behind the walls.
Oh, man.
And it had like I think Shine was on that record too.
Yo, Corrupt in 98, that album was nice. It has some joints.
Corruption?
Girls All Pause.
Nah, that's
is that
what's it called? That's Streets is a Mother. That's
you're 99. Right, that's 99. No, right. Corruption, that was Weak and Freak It.
We can freak it and see walk.
Yeah, I take that back. Corrupted 98, I'm cool off of.
Yeah, two personal classic records to me.
Really? Corruption?
No, I mean, We Can Freak It is a personal classic, and Sea Walk is a personal classic. But yeah, the rest of the album is super, meh.
Streets is a Mother, though.
Streets is a Mother is classic. Classic.
Trilogy?
Classic.
I Call Shots? You got
beat up to that record? I didn't like Girls All Paws, though. I think we talked about that.
Oh, Girls All Paws is fantastic.
I liked, it was one of the first records on the album, and it had Daz and Corrupt on it. And then Exhibit was like on the intro.
Loose Cannons.
Loose Cannons.
Ride With Us.
Who Rock With Us is classic.
Yeah, Trilogy is, of course.
Trilogy is amazing.
All right. Back to Primo. Anyway. You Know My Steez, classic. You know what I realized today? I got this album on the day I turned 15. I'm so old, man. Next up, you get Robin Hood Theory, which is all right.
No, we're about to go into a serious run here.
Let me tell you. Work. Listen.
You remember the remix with Big L?
There's a Work remix with Big L?
Yes.
All right, you might blow my mind here in a second. Because you got to understand. I know every word to Work by heart. Beat.
I was a Big L stan around this time. 99 or 98, total Big L stan.
Now you can make me pop this up real quick.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
When we get into the big picture, I'm going to lose all.
Oh, okay, I need to say that for later.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We'll go there. Don't worry.
Anyway, all right.
Work is incredible, though.
It is.
I love Work.
Working incredible. I love Royalty.
Royalty. I forgot how much I like this.
This is an amazing record.
Second single from the album.
Yep.
Kind of their attempt to go a little pop, but it works. It's in their wheelhouse. It totally works.
Totally works.
Casey and JoJo. This is the same time they popped off for what was that record?
Was this All My Life?
Or yes, this is All My Life. Casey JoJo. Like the same.
That's crazy.
This is Spring '98. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So perfect timing, right?
Man, All My Life.
Yo, their outfit snap video.
I don't remember the outfits and video. I'm going to have to watch.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. No, Royalty. Dope beat, dope versus, dope hook. I'm in. Royalty's great. All right. Listen. Are you ready?
Are you ready? You're ready?
My stannery. So in 98... you had this emerging Primo stannery. Then you had this Wu-Tang stannery. And above the clouds, I remember the first time I heard this song.
I remember the first time I heard it too.
This song, like, on it, mind-blowing in 1998. This is Primo at his absolute best.
Wasn't this during a time where sampling Chinese stuff was kind of popular?
When Foxy Brown had the China doll, like the...
Oh, I forgot about the China
remember doll. People were getting like chains that looked like Chinese and Japanese characters, and people had the tattoos, and... Oh, man. Terrible.
Oh, man.
But Above the Clouds.
Above the Clouds is amazing.
It's amazing. One of Primo's best beats ever. Guru brings it about as much as Guru can bring it.
Yeah.
But then Deck comes through. Listen. When we talk about crushing the building.
He was in a zone right here. He was still riding off of...
Woo Forever?
The Triumph Wave. Yeah, the Woo Forever Wave.
In 98, he had this. He had Tres Leches.
Oh, wow.
He had True Master, that P-Rock joint.
Yeah.
He had a little guest appearance run.
He did. It's when they should have dropped his album.
Let's, please. I'm trying to have a good moment here. You know, I was... You know, I had this little like loud music sampler that had Rec Room on it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to live off of Rec Room. You know.
Source Fat Tape Classic.
Rec Room is dope. I know every word. I could just start right now. Like every single word, obviously by heart to Dex verse on Above the Clouds. This three track sequence is crazy. Work, Royalty, Above the Clouds.
Yeah. Classic. Oh, I mean, come on! Don't.
Well, we're gonna
skip on the next record.
Well, so we get JFK to LAX.
Dog. The first time I heard this record, like my sister played me this record because she heard "Moment of Truth" before I did. And she was like, "Yo, you got to hear this record, JFK to LAX." She's like, "We had the tape." She let somebody have the tape and let her borrow it, and she got home from school and she got home before me. And she like rushed me downstairs in her room and she was like, "You have to hear this record."
See, and I like this song. But at the time, I didn't think the song was that great.
Oh my God. You're bugging.
Look, it's a dope song. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying at the time, like I'm trying to be honest. At the time, for me, it was like, you know, work, royalty above the clouds. And yeah, I listen to JFK at LAX, but honestly, a lot of times I'd skip ahead the moment of truth. I have to say, I got to talk about the sample on JFK to LAX.
No, do you?
All right. Let me just say, I love this sample.
And it'll be painfully obvious very, very soon how much Doc loves the sample.
The sample's a monster. But
what sample is this? Diana Ross or something?
We're not saying anything about that.
My bad. Normally you're
I know. I'm trying not to give too much away. Great song. And unfortunately, it's a setup with Hannibal. It's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I'm cool off of this record.
Song is cool. Moment of Truth is dope.
Moment of Truth is super dope.
Guru is great on that. You know, when I looked at this track list in 98 and I was like, MOP on a 98 Primo beat, I was like, I was ready. But B.I. versus Friendship is,
It's okay.
It's okay. The Militia.
I think what our problem is,
yeah,
is that we already know what amazing, so we're just kind of like waiting on it. You know what I'm saying? We're like, all right, that's cool. Skip the Militia. Remember the remix to this?
There was two remixes.
Was there two remixes?
Yeah, Militia Part 3.
Oh, there was the Militia Part 3. You're right.
Which we'll talk. I got notes on that.
Wasn't that on Lyricist Lounge?
It was on something, a soundtrack or.
Yeah, I think that was on like Lyricist Lounge Volume 3 or something like that. Soundbombing 3 or something.
The remix to Militia was on the Belly soundtrack.
Stupid.
The Belly soundtrack.
Oh, that Belly soundtrack was tough.
There was some records on there.
Records on there.
Dogs for Life.
Yo, that record is classic. Classic.
That record's dope. Of course, Face Off is on that, right?
Yeah, Face Off is on there. Made Men in the Locks.
Oh yeah,
Tommy's theme. Yeah, that record's on there. There's a Royal Flush record on there that's dope. Some niggas is on there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple records. Ja Rule Story to Tell is on there.
Story to Tell is on Belly soundtrack. Maybe that's age better than I remember.
It's tough. It's tough. But yeah, but the Militia. If you want to talk about two classic verses, especially Freddie Fox's verse.
Hold on, I got to correct real quick. It's actually Pregame that's on Belly, and we forgot about Crew Love. And Jerome Never Dreamed You Leaving Summer.
Jerome.
And of course, D'Angelo Devil's Pie.
Yeah, we're bugging.
Belly soundtrack's incredible. All right, let's talk about the Militia. Freddie Fox. Woo!
Fox's verse on here is stupid.
This like took his career to a new level.
Oh yeah, because then he dropped the La.
I have notes in the La, but I didn't realize the La came this quick after.
Not that quick.
Cause
it was quick by that time standards, but I think it was at least like a year or two.
Well, because Industry Shakedown is 2000.
Yeah. Well, then the La was on Industry Shakedown, so I think that was 99 though, because that was getting mix showed.
Okay.
I was getting mixed show for a while.
It's crazy that Militia was a single.
Yeah.
That got so much. Rap City played the heck out of Militia.
Killed it.
You know, Sugar's cool on that, Guru's cool on that, but that's Freddie's song.
That's Freddie's record.
That was back when you could have a guest appearance like that and that like on one record on an album, it could take you somewhere. There's another person who's on a track later on who got verse of the month from the source, and that and took that person's career to, I guess, as far as they could go. But you know, Crumb Snatcher. Let's talk. All right, so Militia, we all agree, incredible, right? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, all right. Militia's incredible.
Rep Grows Bigger's all right.
It starts out kind of, but I think that I like Rep Grows Bigger. I think this it's a simplistic primo beat, but it really works.
See, I like what I'm here for.
Oh, see, I was gonna say after Rip Grows Bigger, we kind of get a run here where I'm kind of like,
I like these next two records. I like What I'm Here For, and I like She Knows What She Wants.
No,
I think I those are obvious filler records.
They are.
Do you remember, in the rare occurrence that a filler record was like kind of surprisingly like cheesy dope, like you kind of knew, this isn't as strong as the other records, but this is still dope.
Like that's like a Caribbean Connection. You walked right into that one.
Oh, right into that one.
Yeah, you know, She Knows What She Wants. That's Z, not an S. I'm cool. That's a straight skip. I actually skip, like, I skip What I'm Here For. I skip She Knows What She Wants. I skip New York Straight Talk. New York Straight Talk's a cool song. It works, but, you know, it's all right. This record could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah.
You know, if if I were 1.5 and back in 98, this would have been very different. You like New York Straight Talk? My advice to you?
Right. I go straight from She Knows What She Wants. I go straight to Crumb's verse on Make 'Em Pay. And then I go to G-Deb's verse on The Mall. And then I go to Betrayal.
Make 'Em Pay. I used to be obsessed with this song.
This song is stupid.
Great beat. I love Primo scratching on this. But Crumb Snatcher.
Crumb Snatcher destroys this. Shout out to Crumb Snatcher for being a part of one of my favorite songs of all time.
Which is?
Wolves.
Oh, man. I forgot about Wolves. That was off the Training Day soundtrack.
Training Day soundtrack.
I bought that soundtrack. What a terrible soundtrack.
What a terrible... That Locks beat? Do you know why I hate that lock? Do you remember that lock beat? You remember
the song's called Training Day, right?
Yeah, it was called Training Day. I hated that beat because at that time I was at the height of my mixtape. I just downloaded every mixtape that ever came out. Mm. Oh, it was a mixtape. You know, those were the days when you download a 30-track mixtape for two songs. And every struggle rapper spit on that beat. That and Burn.
Burn.
Freaking Mobb Deep. But yo, Wolves?
Wolves is crazy.
Knots,
man,
my God.
But you know, I guess I didn't realize at the time, but you know, Crumb Snatcher, he was definitely on a little bit of that, like, you know, if you think about how Deck, like, I, you know, nobody's a bigger Inspector Deck fan than I was, but you know, like, you know, Crumb's, I love the way Crumb's verse opens. You know, like, I see myself as the Black Rap Messiah, colossal, spreading my gospel through electrical wire. That's some Inspector Deck rapping.
Yep,
love it. The Mall, I like G-Dep. I like the beat. I don't like the hook on The Mall. That whole make money, money go shot. I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
That's all. That's a tribute to the old school. I feel it.
I guess.
But I feel it. I feel why you wouldn't like that.
But Betrayal.
Betrayal.
Slower tempo.
Yeah.
But that's for Scarface.
Oh, my God. Scarface's verse on here is stupid.
Yeah, Scarface is perfect on this. Great, yeah. Guru struggles a little bit on the slower beat, but it's all good.
Yeah. Oh no, it's dope. It doesn't bother me that much. I can see how, but it doesn't bother me that much.
It was kind of a big deal that Scarface was on this.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it sounds silly now, but like, there was still a novel thing to have. Like, oh, you got a, you know, a Southern rapper with, you know, East Coast group, like, that was a thing.
Yep.
And these next two records, I think I really just stopped every single time at Betrayal. I don't even remember. Betrayal.
I don't remember those two either.
I like the sample on Next Time. Because it sounds like something that RZA would have used. And it's a Barbara Mason song, so, you know, that makes sense. I'm getting extra nerdy right now. Now I want to tell samples. In memory of, you know, this is sort of rapper 101 back in the '90s.
RP song.
RP song. You know, I love this album, but we didn't need 20 tracks.
No. Remember that when this got 4.5 mics?
I was probably mad about that too.
At the 4.5 mics.
Yeah, I wanted 5.
Yeah, everybody wanted 5.
In retrospect, there's no way this gets 5.
No.
The problem is that it's just too long.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, aside from Robin Hood Theory, it's clear that they tried to like pack the first like 6 tracks with just, you know, ridiculousness. But I love this record. I love this album, right? It's my favorite Gangstar album. But I think that's true for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, I think this is far and away everybody's favorite Gangstar album.
All right. So even despite all those incredible Primo beats in 98, we have some incredible Primo beats to talk about.
Okay.
We're going to talk about what might be my favorite Primo beat ever.
Uh-oh. What is this?
All City the Actual.
This is your favorite Primo beat?
Listen. I can't rationally talk about this beat.
Wow.
I love this beat. I bought the CD single so I could have this.
I remember the CD single.
Had the Pete Rock joint on the B-side.
Yep.
I love this song. I just can't. Like, this beat is incredible. Wow. Incredible. Like, when I think of a Primo beat, this is what pops in my head. I know. Let me put it this way, might be my favorite Primo beat ever. I'm gonna borrow an Armandism. A gossism, if you will. Right. It might not be the best, but I'll say it's my favorite.
Wow.
Didn't expect that, did you?
No, not at all. Not with all these beats in 98.
We got some beats coming.
I thought you would have went somewhere else, but okay.
We got some beats coming. I was trying to sort of go in rough chronological order, but that might... I don't have these organized chronologically, so...
Just go.
So, let's see. We could talk about a disappointing Primo beat, which was Fat Joe, That Gangsta-ish.
Are you crazy, sir? I think you are.
No, I really wanted to like this, but it's just not that good. I mean,
I need to listen to this whole album again. I used to love this album.
John Blaze, of course, is incredible.
Yeah, John Blaze is incredible.
People used to think Primo did John Blaze.
Yeah, because of the scratches, right?
Yeah, he did the scratches on John Blaze. That's it. Who produced John Blaze? Hold on. Wikipedia, don't fail me now.
Who did John Blaze? I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, Ski. I've got production credits right here.
Oh, look
Ski.
At you.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Because you just pulled up Don Cartagena on Wiki.
I did. Because I really want to listen to this album. Oh my God, Young Lord, Don Cartagena beat, Triplets, the Crack Attack.
The opening, the first couple, Crack Attack. Oh man.
Don Cartagena was hard. That song was hard. I used to like My World. I don't remember what it sounded like though. Bet Your Man Can't. Such struggle.
Bet Your Man
Can't. Such struggle.
Wait, aren't they forgetting the song off this track listing? Twins 98, where's that?
That was on...
Oh, that's on this record.
Nah, that wasn't on Don Cartagena.
No? What was that on? Was that on Big Pun's album? Deep Cover? I guess it was. Oh, wow.
Was that on Capital Punishment?
I guess that was on Capital Punishment. Man, for some reason I kept thinking that was on... Could be hearing me typing and backspacing.
Getting there.
Oh, you're wow. I forgot that record had 24
and they
tracks
buried
on it.
It's track 17.
It's right after I'm Not a Player.
Yeah.
You want to talk about buried? Tres Leches is 21.
My God.
Oh man, that Big Pun album.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Dream Shatter. Oh my goodness.
You know what's funny? I didn't hear the original version of Dream Shatterer until much, much later.
Oh,
I love the album version better than
the album version's better. I like it when Black Rob used that sample. Yes. Oh man, that we talked about. Listen, everybody, go back and listen to it when we talk about Bad Boy, because that Black Rob album, there's some joints.
Some joints in the Black Rob album.
But not like super lyrical.
Yeah, super lyrical. Beware, Beware. You Ain't a Killer, Glamour Life.
The classic Pack in the Max skits.
Yeah, classics. Ain't nobody right?
Even you came up was cool.
You Came Up was hard. You Came Up.
Wait, Rockwilder produced You Came Up?
It's hard.
All right. Back to Primo. Wait, you like that gangsta-ish?
I do.
Oh man.
I think I need to hear it again. I didn't hear it for this podcast, but I just remember really liking that record on this album. I really like this album.
Don Cartagena? Yeah. It's all right.
But I remember liking it a lot. Mm-hmm. So I need to go back and listen to it and see how well it aged.
Fair enough. What else we got? We got Brand Newbie in The Return.
B was dope.
B was cool. Not one of his greatest.
Yeah.
Crumb Snatcher, Closer to God.
Yep.
That's dope. Cool. Let's see. Off that Jermaine Dupri album, Protectors of 1472.
That beat is dope.
I think that song is totally forgotten. I think that beat is
great. That album is forgotten. Come on, man. The record with Usher and the Brat, The Party Continues.
He thought he was Puff. It was a little too obvious.
Get your ish right with DMX. Going Home with Me with Keith Sweat.
Wait, and Rock, right? ROC, whatever his name was?
Hold yeah, on. ROC, right.
Oh,
right.
My goodness.
Yeah, this was him getting his cuff.
Rock was supposed to be Mace, right? Is that how it worked?
Yes. Brat was supposed to be Snoop.
Yeah. Oh, Fresh is dope.
I don't remember Fresh. With Slick. Oh, Fresh. I do kind of remember that. Yeah. That
Slick Rick had a run in 98.
He did have a run. Not the record not Slick Talk with Outkast. He had another record too.
Well, of course, he really popped back up in 98. Or was it 99? Because it was on the Art of Storytelling remix.
That was Equimini. That was 98, 99.
Yeah, 98, 99.
They did a swap because
Outkast
was on. Outkast was on his album.
That's right.
I thought he had another song besides Street Talk and Art of Storytelling. I thought he had another record.
He might have. That I used to love that Slick Rick record. There's some tracks on there.
There were some joints on that album. Yeah.
We are wildly off topic.
I'm really about to just go and look.
What was it that was the Art of Storytelling? Yeah, man. Me and Nas Bring It to Your Hardest.
Frozen.
Yeah, he was bringing that. Frozen was dope. You know what? Actually, I liked a lot. I liked, man, King Peace and the Chess Game. I liked Two Way Street. I liked Island America Part. Is it one or two?
Yeah, one of those Island Americas was stupid.
Yeah,
I just don't remember. This is why I like doing retros, because then I'm like, what am I gonna do after the show's over? And I just go listen to one album we talk about.
I remember buying. I love that album. All right. Back to 98 Primo. Let's see. So speaking of not so great Primo records, Charlie Baltimore, Everybody Wanna Know.
Yeah. And the funny part was that record was anticipated. People were like, oh, she's got Primo on the album.
Yeah.
That should be tough. And then people finally heard it and they really tried to force that record.
They just tried to force Charlie B in general. Although I gotta give props to Stand Up.
Of course you do.
Mm,
I gotta give props to the Horse and Carriage remix.
No.
And NBC. Remember NBC?
I do. Oh man, that was a bad stuff. Nah. Horse and Carriage remix is terrible.
That is one of the greatest hip hop remixes of all time. Easily.
By greatest you mean
Silk like 32 bars. He just spazzed.
It's the Night Court beat. I just get oh man.
I listen to the Horse and Carriage remix at least twice a month. Just go on YouTube and there's another. Remember the Charlie Baltimore record? Her and Cameron was on Funk Flex Volume 3. What did they rap over? Was it Ice Cream? No, it was
that,
Ice Cream.
That sounds like a Funk Flex thing.
No, it was Incarcerated Scarfaces. They both killed it.
What did Cannabis rhyme over on Volume 3?
Ice Cream.
Thank you.
Oh, man. If you had 90% of my. Just think of the 90% of my brain that I ain't even used yet. Sucking as much air as my lungs will permit. Then I start to kick that. And then Missy rapped over Triumph.
That's right.
To exist.
Volume 2 is the best of the Funk Flexes.
3 has some joints.
Two is the best.
Two had that Cormega freestyle. Two had that the Jay-Z freestyle.
The Jay-Z freestyle is crazy.
Had the Nasty, the Nas, the Escobar.
What else is on volume two? There's some joints on volume two. Now you got me looking back.
Do we want to do a Funk Flex retro?
We don't need to do a Funk Flex. Oh, you know what? I forgot there was 44 tracks on that.
Oh, God.
Oh man, you know what's the? I forgot Mace over Wu-Tang Clan on the F with.
Oh, that's strip big and Locks over Cream.
Yeah,
and
then Mace
destroyed.
He kills that.
Don't stop till we rest in Key West. This be the Mace bad boy. Come on. Okay. All right. Primo. Did we talk about that on the Bad Boy Retro? We had to.
I hope we did. Let's go back to Primo. Speaking of Group Home, The Legacy. That's a dope beat. That might be my favorite Group Home Primo collabo.
Oh, wow.
Collabo. That's such a 90s word.
I
still use it in my notes whenever it's people. I always write down collabo. We got some MOP records to talk about.
Yeah, First Family for Life album.
Breaking the Rules is okay.
What?
It's cool.
What do you mean it's cool? Are you serious? The beat is stupid.
It's not. It's not. I love is crazy.
All these records are dope.
Salute Part 2 featuring the same sample as the intro to your favorite album, Kingdom Come. I don't remember Salute Part 2 at all, but that record is dope. I'm just steamrolling over Amon right now.
You find some way to like jab. You really do like the Oz like stab with the ice pick. Like you really stand up a toothbrush. And anytime we cross paths on the show, you manage to like stab me a couple times in the ribs. And pass the piece off to your man.
The Handle Your Business remix is cool. It's not amazing.
Go ahead, just go ahead.
But Downtown Swing in 98.
Go ahead. Just go ahead.
This beat. Man. This is like, I'm getting to like super Primo stan status in 98 right now. Downtown Swing in 98 was one of those records that I heard in 98. I forget how I heard it. I kind of forgot about it. And then when we got to college and it was the era of Audio Galaxy, I used to grab all these records. Because I still, like, I would go home and I used to have these big boxes under my bed of, like, Nintendo Powers and Source magazines and all the, like, Sports Illustrated when I was a kid. Because all I did was read magazines. Right? So, like, I would go home for, like, winter break and I'd pull out these old sources. I would literally go and try to download as much of the stuff off the old fat tapes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But no, these some of these MLP records are just
stupid. They do not get the credit that they deserve on a large scale.
We got to talk about your man Memphis Bleek. Hand it down.
Another one of my favorite Primo records of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a dope. No, don't get me wrong. Dopey. And Bleek is good on this.
Bleek killed. Well, Jay wrote the verse.
Wow.
Bleek destroyed this.
I mean, good. it's no Memph Bleek is, but you know,
no Dumai.
No, Memph Bleek is that is just the peak of Swizzery in '98. Like,
remember Murder for Life?
Oh, I don't remember Murder for Life.
Because
here's the deal: those keyboard records, some of them, like I remember when I first heard Glory.
We always mention Glory and Good Morning America are always the two.
Oh, Good Morning America
is amazing.
And you know what? Even Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like, those are dope keyboard records, right? But
very dope.
Memph Bleek is?
That's because those are Dame Grease, and Dame Grease did Swiss better than Swiss did Swiss.
No.
Or a PK Killer.
No,
DJ
no, no, no,
Shock,
no. Swiss did he did Fantastic Four.
He did the first one?
Yeah. Hold on, we're looking at
it. Were there scratches in it?
Those yeah, definitely.
Keyboard scratches? Okay.
Oh, man. Remember the Fantastic Four remix?
part two with Fabulous, when he said the only time I seen time behind bars is in the Cartier. Struggle.
You man, Meek needs to take that line.
Meek is.
Anyway,
we're not gonna talk about Meek Mill and DJ Premier.
We talked about Instagram That Hoe. I think we could talk about.
You're right. You man, but Meek. I'm not gonna do it.
And then we had two records off of the Belly soundtrack. We had Devil's Pie.
Yep.
And Militia Remix.
Yep.
Devil's Pie is incredible.
Yep.
That whole scene in Belly is great.
I'm so glad that Cannabis didn't take that beat.
I can't even imagine what Cannabis...
I can.
Why'd you have to bring up Cannabis? Because now I'm going to have to remember how every hip-hop nerd... every hip-hop nerd in 98 was begging for that Cannabis Primo collabo.
Yeah, they were. They were. And then Cannabis dissed Primo 15 years later.
And the Militia Remix was... Are
you going to talk about Paula Perry?
Who? No. I'm not... Yeah. I didn't go that deep.
You know why? I remember Paula Perry because she was in every issue of The Source. Like, her ad was in every issue.
I don't remember the Paula Perry ads.
Yep. In big letters. New single, extra, extra, produced by DJ Premier. Like, his name was bigger than hers on the ad. Anyway, Militia Remix.
It's not that good.
It's not good compared to part one.
No, it's cool. It's a classic, like, let's throw this on the soundtrack. It's, you know, we don't have that anymore. There's a lot of records that people put out that would have normally been put on a soundtrack.
You're absolutely right.
What we now call, like, buzz records, those used to be on soundtracks.
Yep.
Of course, then you had to put up with, like, clips from the movie, And then sometimes if you had a really hard record and it was, like, not a really hard movie, you'd get, like, a weird, like, juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I think that's it for 98.
Did
I miss anything?
The Wrath of My Madness remix, Queen Latifah.
I don't really remember that.
And, yeah, that was it. We can go to 99.
99. Not a whole lot.
Nah, but not really.
But we got to talk about. We should just start with Nas.
Okay.
New York State of
Mind. Yeah, we already talked about New York State of Mind Part 2.
Let's talk about New York State of Mind Part 2.
I thought we talked about that last week.
We talked about a little bit.
Okay.
So you think this is better than the original, right?
Yes.
It might be.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
It's not the same piano sample.
Oh, it's the same bass line.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the same bass line, but it's just updated. But yeah, they add the piano in there. Yeah, okay. Never mind. You're right.
Nas destroys this.
Oh my God, the story about his friends at the end? Incredible.
Here was the problem with I Am, really, right? And we talked about this in the Nas retrospective, is that first you heard Nas is Like, which we're going to talk about in a minute. You heard, oh my goodness, I can't
believe it. Was it Hate Me Now?
Then it was Hate Me Now, right? And then the first record is New York State of Mind Part 2.
But then, on top of that, people had already heard the bootleg.
That's right.
So we were expecting...
So you're just like, what is going on here?
He did it. Like, we were really championing. Like, at this time, we were really in the streets screaming, Nasir Boumaye. Like, he had it. And then we got the retail version of I Am, and we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. I think the wheels fell off somewhere between We Will Survive and You Won't See Me Tonight.
Yeah, it starts off strong. Small World's incredible. Favor for a Favor is dope. We Will Survive is dope.
No.
Yeah. What? No, We Will Survive is dope. We Will Survive is dope. Chill out.
Ghetto Prisoners, nah. It's okay.
Yeah, this whole middle is horrible.
All right, we already covered this, Richard. But anyway, so okay. New York State of Mind Part 2, incredible.
Yep.
Incredible. One of Nas's best songs?
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, because Nas doesn't have good albums, but he has great songs.
You can use the hashtag Clock Ready Speakers and tell our mom what. No, I'm just kidding. So let's talk about Nas is like.
Okay. Let's talk.
For many, this is the best Primo beat ever.
Extremely, horrendously false.
Do you think it's a dope beat?
It's dope. Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Okay. It's a classic record. It's super dope. Nas kills this. Primo kills this. But this is not even the best record that they've done together. So how is this Primo's best record when this isn't even the best Nas and Primo collaboration?
I think it's because it was a single. I think right. It's, you know.
And again, Nas always starts his new albums like an underdog. Because something happens where either the people don't like his albums or something happens in the limelight. And people are like, uh-oh, what is Nas going to do now? And then he puts out Nas is like, and we're like, yeah.
Because if you weren't listening to Bootlegs, last thing you heard from Nas was the Firm album.
Right. Good point.
I go back and forth on if Nas is like is the best Nas song ever. It's up there.
What is?
Nas is like. It's in the conversation. You can't name five Nas, can you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd have to look, but I can't like do it off my head.
All right.
New York State of Mind Part 2 is better. I Gave You Power is better.
I Gave You Power is in no way better than Nas is like.
You're
no. Better. No.
Oh God. One Love is better.
One Love
is. The World Is Yours is better.
I might take an argument on The World Is Yours.
It Ain't Hard to Tell is better.
They're all in the conversation.
It's one of the best middle of the road Nas songs.
Oh, I'm it's dying
up there.
Right now.
It's up there with Zone Out. Click the back down.
We're done.
I'm joking.
We're done.
I'm joking.
Although Zone Out, you know,
no
came around a little bit, maybe sort of in a weird kind of.
Nope. Negative.
It's not the worst Nas song ever.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Not at all.
Big
Things, New World. Oh, we can go
through. And later on in the year, but
Suicide Bounce.
Who killed it?
Oh, there you go. Yes, Far and Away.
Anyway, if you want to hear Armand and I laugh for about 5 minutes straight about the Suicide Bounce, Who Killed It combo, go listen to our Nas retro.
That was classic.
I want to, even though it's later in the year, I want to compare and contrast "Come and Get Me" off of Nostradamus with these other two records.
Okay.
It's nowhere near as good.
No. And I used to really like Come and Get Me, but no.
It's a...
In retrospect, that was a super generic Primo beat.
It's a B-level Primo beat.
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got in 99? We got
your man.
My man.
We got your man. The greatest, one of the most underappreciated rappers... Or artists of this time.
Fred Durst. And Together Now.
Wow. This brought me back something sick. I used to love this song. This song is so freaking corny.
This beat is dope, though.
The beat is dope.
And you know, Meth on a Primo beat.
He sounds lazy.
Sounds
lazy.
A little bit.
He phoned this in. Fred Durst was way more excited than Meth was. Man under the cross, stranded in the land of the lost. Like, he was like, yeah. Like, he was writing them rhymes like, yeah.
You think he wrote those?
You know what? I always assumed that, yeah, he did.
Okay.
But, you know, I never, you know. Because, okay, I'm going to say something.
All right.
And, Doc, you know I love you.
Uh-oh. This is about white boys.
It is.
I'm waiting.
Not at all white rappers, but like that whole like pop singers in that era. So Mark McGrath, you know, like a lot of that wheelhouse, the guy from Sublime, when they try to do the rap thing, it's all flow. They're not like the lyrics are hilariously bad.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me believe that Fred Durst wrote this out, because just, his verses make no sense. None. Not even like rapidy rap sense. It's like, huh? But it's hilarious.
Yeah. MTV used to play that like crazy.
Like crazy. Because that's back when they loved Method Man.
You know what else they play? You know what else they play like crazy?
What's that?
Remember they did a remix of Rollin' with Swiss Beats?
Yeah, I used to love that record.
I did too.
Oh, that record was so bad.
Was DMX on that?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep, I could just hear the intro to that in my head right now. Oh, God. Let's talk about your man, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Let's talk about So Ghetto.
I think this is the most overrated Jay and Primo collab.
The most overrated Jay and Primo collab. Is this the last Jay and Primo collab? Might be.
Yeah, I think so. Because I know they said that they've done records since then. They just never made that. Because I know they did something for Black Album, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah, he did something Black, and I want to say he did something for Dynasty, didn't he?
It's possible. You're talking what? The records off Reasonable Doubt. You're talking the records off Volume 1. We're not going to count Hand It Down. Nope. And you're talking this. So I understand what you're saying, but this is also a tough comparison.
Why is that?
Because there isn't a single weak record out of any of those. And this is a dope song. But, like, the other songs are so incredible. Like, calling this the weakest of the bunch is, you know.
Well, I'll say the weakest of the bunch production-wise, because Jay kills this lyrically.
He does. But I just think in general, like, as a song, I think it's probably the weakest of the bunch.
Okay.
Speaking of overrated Primo songs, Mos Def, Mathematics.
Oh, you're killing me.
This record's cool, but people got really excited about this record.
Yeah, because it's a Mos Def album.
That album's crazy overrated. Crazy overrated.
You're killing me.
The Pharoah Monch album was way better.
I need to listen to that album again.
That Pharoah Monch album is incredible. Eternal
Affairs has some joints.
No Mercy.
No Mercy.
No Mercy. Might. Oh, man.
Yeah, people that beat up to that record.
And never mind the fact, like, Monch produced a bunch of those records.
He did. The Light.
Simon Says.
Simon Says. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Queens.
Yeah, I said Queens.
That
yeah,
super, super nerdy record with Cannabis.
Hell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Dang. It's weird the things that your brain like.
The record with Busta?
With
the... Yo, I used to love that record.
I used to love that record, too. That's back when the Busta guest appearance was like, yes! Busta's gonna kill this. And he would.
Yeah.
He would. He definitely would.
What else we got from 99? We got a couple Rakim joints.
Yeah.
Not that great.
Yeah, I used to like When I Be on the Mic, but that's very...
That's a Paint by the Numbers premiere record.
Yep.
Waiting for the World End is not good, really.
Nah.
You get this... What?
Oh, we got to talk Rap Phenomenon.
We do.
I used to love this record.
Nothing could... Like, when I saw that on the track listing... You know, nothing could match my anticipation for Biggie, Method Man, Redman, and Primo.
Absolutely.
Dope beat. And it's a classic big verse.
Yeah, that was my problem, was that it took the verse from Keep Your Hands High with Tracy Lee.
See, I didn't. That was one of the records that I somehow didn't buy from my Columbia House hookup back in the 90s. So I had heard the record maybe once or twice, but like it wasn't that familiar to me. So that I was okay with that at the time. Yeah. Yo, remember that Cash Money record on that album? I know. Just thinking about it makes me laugh. Let's see. We got your man Sauce Money, Intruder Alert.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, it's not good. I think that's kind of it from 99.
Yeah, that is it.
So I'm looking now, at this list for 2000.
This is one of my favorite Primo years.
99, 2000 is unbelievable.
2000 is retarded.
So we can just start right off with your man Afura.
Yeah.
So he did Defeat.
Which, man, this album was really good, man.
Defeat is okay.
This album was really good.
Mike Stance, that beat is crazy.
Mike Stance was dope. I really like Equality.
That beat on Equality is great. Monotony is all right. And I'm not really a big Afro Ross fan, you know.
That was really good. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
had your man Master Killer on it.
Yeah, I know. My man Master Killer.
Anyway, let's talk about what I want to talk about.
You want to talk about Big L?
I do. This is one of my favorite Primo records in the world.
The big Picture intro.
Yes.
I don't even know if this is my favorite Primo record on this album.
I mean, the other two are amazing.
The last one is ridiculous.
Oh my god, Platinum Plus is retarded.
Yeah, so big picture intro is incredible. Incredible.
And Big L kills
it. Kills it.
It's one of my favorite verses ever.
I don't know why they didn't put the Primo remix to
Ebonics
on here, but we're going to talk about that later.
That was on the DITC.
It was, but they could have thrown it on here.
They really could. I thought they threw. Wasn't Ebonics on here?
The original.
I'm sorry?
The original.
You know what their problem was? What they could have did? They used a couple of verses twice on this album. Yeah, they used a couple verses twice on here. They really could have replaced that with the Ebonics remix.
But they could have added it. Bonus track.
Nah, there was some struggle on that. Oh, there was. Who You Sliding With, Games, The Heist Revisited. They had two versions of The Heist.
Yeah. Nah,
yeah, they definitely could
have. But that big picture intro is incredible.
Yes, it is.
The Enemy is cool, but it's not great.
Nah, it's still classic.
It kind of plods along.
Nah, that record's dope.
But Platinum Plus?
Platinum Plus is stupid. Yeah, Big Daddy Kane had a little resurgence for that for a quick minute.
What was that record he did with Alchemist?
Oh. I thought that was Primo. But
The man, the icon.
The man. Oh my god. Oh.
Y'all right there?
No.
Any Type of Way was Primo.
I don't remember Any Type of Way. Don't remember that record. But let's see. Ah, your favorite rap group of all time.
Black Eyed Peas?
Black Eyed Peas.
BEP Empire, no. This record is not
good. I remember
good.
Liking this beat when it was out, but maybe this was when I was on my Primo standard.
Yeah, this record's just not really good.
Yeah, I remember the video.
I don't remember the record. There was a video for this?
Yeah, this was a single. They did like a, because this is when Primo was popping, so they tried to capitalize off that. It was like a infomercial. I forgot what they were selling, but it was one of those like hippity hop, rappity rap statements. Like we're selling, you know, we're selling out, or they're selling whatever, selling soul, something like that. I don't know. But do you remember the Sonya Blade record? Look for the Name.
I do.
I used to love
that Sonya Blade record.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I forgot about her. I forgot about her.
Wait, isn't there's a crazy beat switch in that, right?
Yep.
Hmm. Wait till we talk about. We got some beat switches coming up. Can we talk about my man Bumpy Knuckles?
Of course we can.
Who, you know, for some reason I remember that Primo did more on this, but he only did two records. I forgot how much Alchemist is on here.
Yeah.
Tell Him I'm Here, Stock in the Game.
Oh my god, Tell Him I'm Here.
Actually, there's not that much. Maybe not. Pete Rock did a couple records.
Yeah.
This
is Pete's Strumentals, Pete Rock too, right?
Oh, Pete's Strumentals. Pete's Jazz? Listen.
There was another record at the end.
I used to listen to Pete's Strumentals all the time.
With the violin. Dun, 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 dun. You know how many I used to listen to Rockefeller on Hot 97, and I'd listen to Freeway and Benny Siegel go back and forth, and then I'd pause that and put that beat on and write like 10 verses. Save my life. Anyway.
Bumpy Knuckles RNS.
Stupid.
This is absolutely one of my favorite Primo beats ever.
Stupid.
This beat is incredible.
Stupid.
Like, and Bumpy Knuckles kills this.
Yes, he does.
Part of My Life is dope, but it's not as good as RNS.
Nah. But it's straight. It's good.
It is. I didn't realize that was the first single.
Yep.
CNN Invincible.
Ooh!
It was all right.
Nah.
It was cool.
You bugging.
It was cool. I don't really like that sample.
You're bugging. That beat was stupid.
Nah, it's overrated. Definitely.
That album has some joints, though.
Bang Bang.
Of course, Bang Bang.
Common, Sixth Sense.
Classic.
Classic. Great, perfect single.
Perfect single.
Yeah, DITC. Listen, Thick.
Thick was stupid. Woo!
Who makes beats like that except for... That beat is amazing.
It's stupid.
The Ebonics remix is incredible.
Very much so.
So much better than the original.
Way better than the original.
The Enemy is okay.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We did. I forgot about Ed OG saying something.
Yeah, Ed OG tried to, you know, he had a little second win there.
That beat is fantastic on saying something. Yeah. And Ed OG's actually pretty good on it. Like,
yeah, Ed OG can spit. He can rap.
Your man Guru. Jazzmatazz Part 3.
Yeah, I remember liking this Hustlin' Days record with Donnell Jones.
The beat is the star of the show here.
Yeah, of course.
Donnell Jones is okay on the hook.
Isn't it always?
And Guru's all right. And Where My Lady. I wasn't crazy about it at the time, but it's actually pretty dope. How do you feel about Lox Recognize?
What do I think? Classic.
It's okay.
You're bugging.
It's okay. It's kind of that's a generic, hey, we got a beat from Primo.
Bugging.
I don't even think, like, I'm looking at these list of records in 2000. It's not even in the 10 best records from that Primo did in 2000. No, it's all right. It's cool. Eh.
Their other record is better.
What record is that?
None of Y'all Better.
Oh yeah, no. That is much better. I forgot about None of Y'all Better. Did I take notes on that? Did I forget about None of Y'all Better? Oh no, it's coming up.
That was on Data's first album.
Yeah. Let's talk MOP. You ready? Well, let's get Every Day out of the way, because that song's not great. Product G&B, that hook is terrible. Terrible.
But, you know, they did make Cluck Cluck.
I don't remember Cluck Cluck.
And they had chickens in the video. They were singing to, like, live chickens in the video. They were singing on top of power lines. You don't remember that video?
No. Oh, that's tough.
You know what? Let's trade brains so I can forget it.
But let's talk about Face Off 2K1.
I want to cry.
This first beat. Oh,
yo,
my Fame goodness.
Kills this. Fame kills this. And then it gets better.
No. The first beat is better.
No.
Yeah, the second beat's great. But that first beat is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But then Dan, Billy Dan's verse is one of my favorite verses of all time. So. Billy Dan's kills that.
Kills that. On the Front Line.
Dope. Super dope.
That beat, man, is incredible.
Super
dope. It's sort of like, you know, starts off and you're like, all right, what's going to happen here? And when it kicks in, you're just like, you know, you're making the Jay Ugly face from Fade to Black the entire time. Follow Instructions.
Incredible.
You love that record.
Yes.
Dope. Very dope.
Yes.
And Roll Call is cool, but it's not incredible.
Nah, not compared to the other stuff on the album and the other stuff that Primo did. Not at all.
No. and it's not Primo, but I have to mention Cold as Ice.
Oh, come on.
Which, oh, I used to play that over and over.
Cold as Ice, Home Sweet Home with Lord Have Mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Warriors Have Some Joints, man. Warriors Have Some Joints. That album was incredible.
And of course, Annie Up, even though on the album version they stupidly put Funk Flex on the intro.
Yeah, that was stupid.
That was terrible.
What else was all? Calm Down. Oh my God, Calm Down was crazy.
Fall of 2000 was a good time.
Very good time.
My freshman year. I forgot about Rod Digga.
Yeah, Lessons of Today.
It's cool.
It was cool.
It's cool. We had Screwball.
Yeah, Faye Ban.
I never really liked Faye Ban.
I did.
It was all right.
I liked Faye Ban. Yeah,
Seen It All is dope, but not incredible. But, well, you like Seen It All?
No.
Okay. The Peacemaker. Remember that? Tony Touch?
Yes. That was that had Eminem and D12 over Alchemist. Get Back.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Yep.
We talked about this a little bit, but Jadakiss and Then Y'all Better. I forgot how much I like that beat. Wait, that's 2000. Is that 2001? I'm jumping ahead. My bad.
Probably 2001.
Did I forget anything? Wait, is that it from 2000?
The Macy Gray record.
We're not talking Macy.
So Gray. Yes, you didn't. I mean, so no, you didn't forget
okay.
any.
Okay. My notes. I break my notes up by year. I broke it at the wrong spot. There we go.
So now we're in 2001.
2001.
And we had Blah, Biz Markie.
We could talk about. I mean, so Jadakiss and Then Y'all Better.
Yeah, this record is stupid.
That's incredible. That's so much better than the other record.
Nah, man, they're both stupid.
You know what beat is crazy, even though the rapping's not that great, is Dilated People's Clockwork.
Yes.
That beat is
that expansion vicious. Has some joints.
I don't think I've ever heard that album in its entirety, actually.
It has some joints, yeah. Work the Angles, that wasn't on that album, but Dilated People's has some records, man.
You remember?
That's why it's to listen to Evidence, because that's the Evidence I remember. So now this new Evidence with like this higher voice is like weird to me.
Evidence has an incredible ear for beats, though.
He does. God Save America.
Oh, my God. That record makes me so patriotic. I just get. I'm saluting. I'm saluting like the real way. You know, I got my hand, my arm dropped by my side like I got the roll of quarters in it, just like they do in the Air Force.
You're stupid.
Remember Craig David? Your girls at college used to love Craig David.
Oh my God! You mean Lloyd Banks?
7 Days remix was actually kind of cool.
It was alright.
Gangstar, The Squeeze. What soundtrack was that from?
Who was that?
Gangstar, the Squeeze. It's from some soundtrack. It's basically a remake of The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh man, Jay Live, the best part. I love this record.
Jay Live,
you remember this, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying Jay Live, yo.
Yeah. Jay Live is crazy.
Super unappreciated.
We got the Cool G rap.
Oh, the first. Oh, man. I used to love that record.
I did too, but it's not. I don't think it's aged that great, but.
It's not that good in legends.
No. You made Afu Ra, Big Axe, Little Axe remix with GZA.
Yep, remember that.
That was all right. Eh. Let's talk about Nas' Second Childhood.
Oof. How do you flip a Peebo Bryson record like this?
He's not flipping it.
Nah, he flips it on the breakdown on the beat switch, right?
A little bit. My problem is when I first heard this, I thought this was just the craziest chop ever, and then I realized no, that's just how the record sounds. So from a producer nerd standpoint, the more I knew about this song, the beat didn't quite feel so amazing to me, but Nas is great on this. This is probably my favorite Is this my favorite record off that album?
The intro is classic.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd say Second Childhood. It's probably the best. Hold on.
Here we go. Everybody's gonna think I'm crazy for that one.
No, Ether was horrible. You Got Yourself a Gun was cool.
No, but people are gonna say You're the Man or One Mike.
You're the Man was dope. Was super dope. One Mike was super dope.
Second Childhood though.
What Goes Around was dope. Nah, Second Childhood.
Second Childhood. Yeah. I love the notes on Wikipedia. The track Braveheart Party was removed from later pressings at Mary J. Blige's requests.
Oh, was that her request?
Yeah.
I thought they removed it because of a sample clearance.
Nope.
Wow.
According to a spokesperson for Nas, Columbia Records is obliging Blige's request to have the track removed from the album for what she calls personal reasons.
What were the personal reasons?
I don't know, but I just love that... I love that that somehow got onto MTV. That's still up on their website. But we should clear one thing up. I think it's sort of become sort of like legend on the internet that record was was only on like the first couple copies and then got cut. Nah.
No.
This article is from January 2002.
That wasn't just on the first press and they got rid of it?
No, it wasn't until later.
Huh.
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. What else we got from 2001? We got... Is that it?
From 2001.
Oh, you know what? It's not listed till 2002 because when it showed up in the album, but Royce Boom is from 2001.
That's not on here?
It's because his album Rock City comes out in 2002. Oh, because
the album didn't come out till you.
Let's talk about Boom.
Did we talk about Bumpy Knuckles the Lie?
Well, you talked about it a little bit, but Bumpy, The La is incredible.
Yeah, that song was stupid.
Oh my goodness.
Stupid.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, let's talk Swoon Over Boom real quick.
It's sort of the successor to Nas's Like, right? In terms of how it feels?
It's a much better version of Nas.
Oh, all right. Royce is rappity rapping.
Oh, times this a million. Is so rappity rap. Oh my God, this verse is like, at this time, Royce is my top three.
I thought Royce was going to be the next dude. We all did.
Yeah, we all did. Royce was on a totally different stratosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. His Boom is incredible. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. I saw Royce live in concert. I guess it was probably, what, April 2001? He was, him and Sticky Fingers opened up for Nelly.
Now is this Rhinestone Bandana Royce?
This is right when Boom first came out.
Okay, so nobody pretty much heard it but you.
No. This is a Carmen soundtrack.
Oh, and they put that stupid hook on it?
Yeah. Yeah. So Carmen soundtrack, and Royce's set was incredible because he performed all these records that had Dre beats. Like, 2000... Like, this is not 2001 as in the record 2001, but, like, 2001 Dre beats.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. I remember the story.
Right. So, you know, he performs Boom. He performs... Was it The Throne Is Mine? I forget. He was performing all these records.
Throne Is Mine, Way I Be Pimpin'. Those are the only two Dre records we've heard from him, right?
He performed other ones too, and I wish I could remember what they were. He performed like there was one record, you know, obviously this was forever ago. I just remember there was one record he performed that was clearly like he's like the way that he like talked about it, whatever. After Boom, this was gonna be the single. Like Boom was the warm up single. It was a Dre produced record. It was incredible.
Wow.
And needless to say, you know, there was issues. Ends up, you know, we don't get any Dre records. And Royce's career is really never the same, right?
Nah. That sucks.
It does. All right, so let's move on to 2002. We're coming to a close here, everybody, I promise. It's been a long day.
A long day.
Let's talk about my man, Devin.
Oh man, he did Doobie Ashtray, really?
Doobie Ashtray.
I'm bugging.
That song is so incredible. I love Devin's first album is underrated.
And this one, Just Trying to Live.
Nah, the album before that. What the heck's the title of that? They got me looking up Devin. What was the first album? First album was The Dude. Sticky okay. Green. Do What You Want to Do. I love those records. But Just Trying to Live. There was a... remember the advance of that?
Vaguely. I'm not a really big Devin fan.
Oh, Devin's great.
But I just
great.
Kind of remember... I remember hearing and...
It's a Shame. Oh, wait, this didn't make the album. What was the, Oh, wait, Some of Them? Yeah, Some of Them was dope.
I remember Some of Them.
But Doobie Ashtray. This is one of Primo's, like, unsung classics.
Yep.
The scratching, like, that beat. Oh, man. Love that beat. Love that song. Your man Jazzo.
Oh, man.
He had a little comeback.
He did.
So Primo does 718 and Love Is Gone.
Yep.
They're all right.
Yeah, Love Is Gone got a little love.
It did.
For lack of a better term. No pun intended.
Yeah. Remember Nonfiction?
Yeah, but I was never in. I wasn't into Nonfiction.
Rockstars is pretty dope, actually. Primo pulls out all of his Beatty McBeatmaker tricks with this one, though. Like, he's pulling sounds from, like, every direction. He sort of got to that place eventually. Right? Like, where you could... Like, a Primo beat would be like, all right, I need this sort of weird sound effect, and I got to put this in, and then I'm going to pause for a second while the drums go, and then I'm going to bring this back in, and then I'm going to flip it back. You know, it was a Primo beat. Crumbs, that's a dope beat. Oh, you know what we need to talk about?
What's that?
Razzcast. Yo, Golden Child is stupid.
Golden Child was dope. But I don't like this album for personal reasons.
The Golden Child with the actual album or the advance? Or I mean...
The advance.
Why not?
Because.
What do you mean, because?
Because it had a secondary version of one of the greatest hip-hop beats of all time.
It had the original version of one of the greatest hip-hop beats of all time. Secondary. We're talking, of course, We Gonna Make It and Home Sweet Home.
I remember liking Home Sweet Home because he referenced Rosario Dawson.
I think I had Home Sweet Home before We Gonna Make It. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. We did.
I used to play that like crazy. I had that burned on CDR.
CDR.
Too bad for Razzcast.
Yeah, too bad for Razzcast.
What could have been, you know, everybody, you know, what, him and Royce. Right? I feel like there was a lot of rappers from... Really, there's always rappers like that, but I mean, this we talked about this on past episodes. Like, this really starts to pick up when we talk about, like, you know, like the 2006, 2007 era. A lot of rappers who could have made it but didn't, but like, I feel like Royce and Razzcast really, you know, could have been something.
Let that pack, yeah.
So, off Royce's album, you had My Friend.
Yeah.
I like it, even if it's a little corny.
Yeah, it's a little corny.
He did a couple records for Snoop.
Whack. Except Unfwittable with Rage was tough.
I wanted to like Batman and Robin.
Nah, that record was stupid.
It's so gimmicky.
It's really bad. And I know I've said stupid in different contexts tonight, but it's stupid meaning not very good.
And that Exhibit record, what a mess. I totally didn't even remember that. Like, this is not a great sort of, you know, 2002 Primo, eh.
Yeah.
And... So we're going to end with 2003 Primo.
Okay.
And let's talk about... Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about?
What's that?
We forgot to talk about the records off of Full Clip.
Oh, we did.
We forgot to talk about the song Full Clip, which is classic.
Yes, it is.
We forgot to talk about Discipline with Total.
I love
that record. That's a great record. And one of my favorite Gangstar records ever, it's Crazy Underrated, All for the Cash.
Ooh, yeah.
I love All for the Cash.
This is one of the best of albums. I don't think it's anything on this.
No.
they did a very good job putting this together.
Full clip. Wait, didn't that get like a double XL rating?
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know if they I don't know if they reviewed Best Ofs.
I feel like they did. Wow. Searching for full clip and double XL did not bring me what I wanted. Yeah. Oh, this is great. HipHopMagazineArchive.com. Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. They've got cover scans of pretty much, oh, I don't know, everything.
I think we've seen that before. I think we Googled something and ran across the...
Apparently in the cover with Eve on it from October 99, they gave a full clip at double XL. Wow.
Okay.
But, no, the full clip's incredible.
Yeah,
really good. So, let's talk about the owners real quick.
All right. Do we need to talk about any additional? Because let's
yeah, let's end with the owners. So the only thing I would say is the Ranges.
Ranges.
Inspiration.
That was dope.
Love that.
That was dope. Yeah, CeeLo killed that hook.
And Big Daddy Kane, Any Type of Way.
Yeah.
Which is really dope.
Yep.
There's a couple of the records later on we could talk about, like, if you want to go further than 03. But to me, like, this is the end of Primo's run. And this is, I mean, really, the end is a little earlier than this, but this is still when people were like, oh, it's a new Primo beat.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at past 2003, and it's pretty struggle-tastic.
A lot of struggle. The Royce record, Hip Hop, is pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of struggle.
Yeah, he didn't have anything really classic until, what, the Nike joint, right? And even that wasn't necessarily good. I think that was just a good idea.
Yeah, that wasn't great or anything. So let's close this out.
Oh,
with...
shoot. That's the probably. I'm looking right now. I forgot about that white.
Oh, yeah, thank God for that white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was dope. I'm looking. Watch How I Go Down was dope.
Watch How I Go Down was dope, but a little overrated.
It was a little overrated.
The joint with oh, wait. Is it Agala?
Agala?
I always pronounce that wrong. Yeah, Agala. Wait, what's the joint he did with him? Super Slow Beat.
New York Rider Music?
Thank you. I like that.
It was pretty much strug-tastic after that, so I'd stop. Let's talk owners and let's wrap up.
All right. The owners, when it came out, was a crushing disappointment for me. Because I'm, you know... Obviously, that, you know, 98 to 2001 run was just, you know, we didn't talk about, Battle.
We don't need to talk about Battle.
Oh, Battle is dope.
Huh?
I like, Battle's great. You don't like Battle?
No.
I love that 8 Mile soundtrack.
I hate the second part of that, because it just, like, Primo just couldn't find anything to scratch, so he scratched in, Yo Man, How Much Money You Got?
That's really dope. You don't like Battle?
Nah.
Oh, man. I love Battle.
No.
Whatever you sound out beats on this podcast, you make them sound so rappity rap. I don't even know. It's just like, you know.
That's what it was. Those were the horns.
So, owners, going back and re-listening to this was actually really interesting. Because I just remember this album as being like one or two good songs and the rest was terrible. And that's not true. It's not great, but there's some songs on here.
Oops. Nah, there's a couple.
Words from the Ghetto Child. That beat is nice.
Right. I like Skills.
I like Skills. Right Where You Stand is cool.
Right Where You Stand was cool.
Remember how that was a single?
Yeah.
We all knew we were in trouble then.
What's that?
We knew we were in trouble.
Well... Not necessarily, because people like that record because this is 2000 and this is early 2000s Jadakiss. So they're like, oh, Jadakiss on a Primo joint at this point is still a novelty. So people kind of like gave it the, but it's Primo and Jadakiss. But yeah, it was okay.
Skills is dope. And I think Skills is actually aged really well.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like a Primo beat.
I guess that's maybe true.
Yeah. The drums are very non-Primo-ish.
You're right.
Deadly Habits was dope.
I don't really like that beat. That Nice Girl Wrong Place. No. No.
Nah. Who Got Guns is stupid.
I don't think the beat's that great for that.
Beat stupid.
Capture. Militia Part 3. That beat is incredible.
Yeah, it was dope.
Oh, that's probably the best beat on the album? Play to Win is dope, too.
Play to Win was dope.
Yeah. Riot Act is... Same Team, No Games. The Owners is a cool song.
I like Zoning a lot.
I do like Zoning a lot. Is good. Like, I feel like you can make a good EP out of this. No, look. That's not...
Is it 4.5 mics, too?
No. You think this got... No way.
I thought it did.
Wait. But this is 03 source, so you can just throw everything out of the window. But hold on. What did they get in the source?
Yo, man, how much money? You see,
how much money you got? Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
This is the article about this ever. It was well received critically. No. No, it was not.
That wasn't well received critically?
No.
God, say that 5 times.
Yeah, man. Good luck with that. I'm going to search. Did they get 4.5 mics? See, now you got me. Oh, remember when the source re-reviewed?
No, I don't remember that. That didn't happen.
It did. So wait, what did they re-reviewed? I forgot that they never actually reviewed All Eyes on Me.
They didn't.
What
you want to say?
You're done. So yeah, Owners, I'll say this, it was better than I remembered, but that's only because I remember it being incredibly bad. I was bitter. This marked the end of my Primo stannery. Like, it was sort of fading out a little bit, but I wasn't really a big fan of that early 2000s hip hop as much.
Wow.
Like, I was in full-on backpack mode. I went right from Primo to Little Brother.
Ah. Wow.
Right? And then right from Little Brother to Kanye.
Wow.
Right?
And they all kind of bled into each other, especially Little Brother to Kanye.
Yeah.
They bled into each other. I see now.
Yeah. So
if we did a Little Brother retrospective, that would be me in full stand mode. I don't know if that could happen.
You know.
They've got a nice little discography, though.
We could focus on the good things.
I mean, I'm down.
All right.
I'm down to a Little Brother discography.
I need a break from the discographies because we just did a lot of work here. So is there anything you want to say about Primo's career before we end?
Do you think that this level of production qualifies him to be the GOAT or one of the GOATs? Because there's a lot of struggle in it. There's a lot of great music, but there's a lot of struggle too. So when you're considering who's the GOAT, do you necessarily factor in the struggle with the success, or do you just only focus on the success?
I think there's I think that you can get to a tipping point of struggle. It's a good phrase.
And we cut off like we did with Eminem. We kind of cut off right before the struggle just, you know, snowballed.
That's right. I try to give credit. I think of sports and music in a similar way, where I think longevity matters, but I also think, what were you at your peak?
Sure.
Right. Like, I'll give an example. Like, if you take Primo versus Alchemist.
Yeah.
Alchemist has a more consistent career.
Right.
But
Primo has a better peak.
Primo has a better peak.
Has Alchemist even reached his peak yet? I don't think he has.
He has these little mini peaks.
He does.
Where you think he's peaked, then he sort of wears a style out and comes back again. And there's something to be said for that all in itself.
Well, the problem is he doesn't. I think every great producer has an MC to complement their style and bring out the best in the producer. Alchemist hasn't really had that.
You don't think so?
Not consistently.
Okay, I'd agree with that.
Works with people like in short spurts.
I'd agree with that.
So you can you can attribute Dre to Snoop and Eminem, and you can attribute Pete Rock to CL Smooth, and you can attribute Primo to Guru, and like you can't really.
Well, see, I disagree. I think that Primo didn't start really producing for other people. I don't think it's an accident that Primo becomes much more well known starting in '94 when they take a break.
Then you could put Nas on Primo more consistently. Sure. But when you think of Alchemist, who do you think of as far as an MC?
Honestly, I think of Mobb Deep still. I think of his work with Prodigy. I do.
Yeah.
He has some incredible records with Prodigy.
Return to Mac was stupid. It had some joints on it.
P Broke the Switch.
I liked.
I could talk all day about P Broke the Switch.
I mean, I liked Stuck on You. I liked. Oh man, there was a few joints. It had the Syl Johnson sample. Dun, 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 dun. Oh my God.
Here's what I would say about Primo. I would say that, you know, after the. So, you know, if you get the Bad Boy era kind of fading out on the popular side of hip-hop, right? And then you've got, you know, this emergence of really Def Jam, but, you know, really you got the Rough Rider side and everything else. At that time, like, 98 to 2000, Primo was, you know, he was like this temple of quote-unquote real hip-hop.
Yes, he was.
And if you were an artist that got a Primo record on it, that was going on the sticker that got slapped on on the outside wrapping of your CD cover to make sure someone bought it. Yep. That was you arriving.
Yep.
I think that peak is, it says a lot, you know? I mean, like when I talk about, you know, I favor RZA because I talk about his peak, right? There's a lot of struggle. which is well cataloged on clockreadyspeakers.com. But the peak is unbelievable.
I feel that.
So I think that matters. For our younger listeners, or you know, I think of the students who work for me at UConn. I don't even think if they're a hip hop head, I don't think Primo's in the conversation for them.
Nah, he's not.
Because as time goes on, you can only take a certain amount of legends with you.
Hmm.
Right, like people who grew up in the 90s, when you think about legendary producers from the 80s, you think what? Marley Marl?
Yep.
How much deeper than that are you going?
Maybe
a handful of other people? But you're not really going detailed, right?
Nah, you don't.
So really then the people, so that when people think back on legendary 90s producers, they're bringing Dre.
Yep.
Right? And then maybe a couple of the people, but Primo, you know.
I think they bring Primo.
I think some of them do, but I don't think it's, you know, I think. As time fades on, you only bring so many of the old people with you.
Well, I think that's because a lot of the producers, you know, still do stuff to kind of stay in the public eye. And Dre has sort of, for lack of a better term, reinvented himself with headphones.
Yeah, that's just so crazy to me. You know, people think of him as the headphone guy.
Yeah, yeah. So then on the flip, you look at, Primo, like what has he done outside of preserving the culture and all that other rappity rap stuff? So I don't know,
but that's I mean, does he rank, is he on the no. top list for you?
Mm-mm.
Really? Top 10?
Yeah, he's top 10.
Okay. Top he's 5 top, 10. Top 5
all time.
Yeah,
he's like 6.
Oh,
he's okay. Probably like 6.
Is Kanye in your top 5?
Yes, without question. Kanye's top 5. I'm trying to think of my top 5.
I was going
to
say, you're going to say DJ Quick's in your top 5.
He's up there.
That's a total I grew up on the West Coast 90s move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's
that's biased.
It's like, no, I'm not going to mention Dre. No. That's too commercial.
Dre's top 5 too. I grew up on all that stuff. I know. I can really reference like EA Ski and all that stuff. Like I can go to the Bay Area and...
You remember Earthquake? I had to go there.
Oh God, the Source magazine struggle. That was in.
That was the prime Source magazine struggle.
Every month for like a year and a half. I have to think of my top. Yeah, I have to think about my top 5. I mean, Alchemist might even be up there. Because Alchemist,
pure consistency.
Yeah, I'll say that.
He's more consistent than Just Blaze.
And Just Blaze is in my top 5, if not my favorite.
Oh.
See, you know, I have a difference between the greatest and my favorite. So
that's true. Oh, we're going there.
Yeah, if I say Just Blaze is my favorite producer, that doesn't mean he's the greatest producer. He just makes beats that I love. Like when I think of Just Blaze beats, I'm like, oh my God, and I just go into like a state of euphoria.
Sure.
But I know that he's not the greatest. No. But
he had a peak too.
He had a great peak. I think his peak is very obvious.
Yeah.
I think his peak is very... Kanye hasn't even... I think every time Kanye comes out, he has a peak. I don't even think he's had a dip yet.
I think Kanye's well-publicized work with other producers will sort of muddle where he's considered historically.
Mm.
Hip-hop's not good at that, right? It's why everybody thinks that, you know, Dre stole records from everybody. He may have stole some of them.
Right.
But part of it, too, is you got a bunch of people in the studio.
Right.
And hip-hop is still... They still think it's one producer and one DJ. Yep. I mean, sorry, one DJ and one MC.
Absolutely.
It's not that simple.
Not at all.
Sometimes it is.
It's a business. Like, the way I always explain to people about hip-hop is when you look at MCs and you look at anybody who does hip-hop, you got to look at them like a building. So if you look at a McDonald's, the McDonald's is just a building, but the workers inside the building make the McDonald's run the way that it's supposed to run. So Dr. Dre is a building. Drake is a building. Nicki Minaj is a building. Jay-Z is a building. There are people within those entities who help make that building run. So you call it ghost producing. Like Doc said, there's just mad people in the studio. People have ideas. If you're an artist and you listen to this show, you have on several occasions been in the studio with people and you've helped people with verses. You've received help for verses. And you've helped with beats. Yo, you should try this. You'll be really dope if you did this. Let me try something real quick. Like, that's what happens. Now, there is ghost production.
Yes.
Without saying. Absolutely, there's ghost production. But there's also help. And who doesn't need help at one time or another? That's consistent.
Mm.
Get out of my face with that.
All right. And on that note, I think we're going to close side B of this epic Clock Radio Speakers Week. Please let us know what you think. You know, were we off again on some of these Primo records? Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know. You know what? Let us know. Is Primo in your top 5? Is he in your top 10? Are we showing our East Coast bias? Yeah. let's bring that old horse out and beat it.
East Coast
bias. East Coast West Coast killers.
God,
that's a dope record. But anyway, we appreciate y'all listening. You know, obviously, if you made it all the way through this, you probably already heard part one. But we also have another episode this week. We talk Grammys, talk some new music, and I have no idea what we're talking about next week. Probably maybe a little bit of All-Star Weekend. But
yep, we'll figure it out.
We'll catch y'all next week.
All right.